Help me welcome our senior pastor, John Arelli. He's going to be continuing our series on the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Carol. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Moms are awesome. Way to go, moms. It took you, we went through a lot to get there. I can't comprehend. I was only present for a couple. I've never gone through that process. And that's all I'm going to say about that. This morning, we're continuing a series on the Holy Spirit, and as I was studying, I was surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was surprised just how much of the scripture that we're engaging this morning has to do with the redemption of what should have come, especially when it comes to being a mom. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, there is this surprising element about what it means to be empowered and redeemed when it comes to mothering. As you read the scriptures, as we read them today, you might see that maybe it was just me, but as I was going through, I said, Lord, what are you up to today? But here's the deal. If you don't remember anything else from today, here's one thing that I would like for you to remember. God wants, it's God's desire to fill you with His Holy Spirit in order for you to have and sustain an amazing life. God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit in order to do that. Now, my heart in all this really is that you would today be able to distinguish, decipher, filter through all of those things as we get started. But before we do, I want to invite a friend up. His name is Julio Regla. Julio, would you come up? Julio and I got to go to Argentina a couple of weeks ago. And God did some stuff. So when we're talking about the move of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I wanted Julio to be able to speak to just some things that you saw God do while we were down there. So what was new for you? What did God do? What did you learn? What happened?
What happened? Well, hi, I'm Julio, for those who don't know me. What happened? What was new? So one of the things that was new was I've never left the country. Oh, well, I've been to Mexico, but that's right next door, so that doesn't count. It doesn't count, thank you. So, but I've never been to South America before, and just, we had a 12-hour layover in Peru, in Lima, and we connected with a vineyard church planter there. We met this guy, just talking to him, hugging us, you know, giving us a ride, hosting us. It felt like we knew this guy for years.
We had never met him before, We land at the Lima airport, and we don't know what he looks like. And we go through all these lines of pictures of like, yeah, names. Nobody has our name. And then finally, someone has this gaze on me like, I hope it's you. And we go towards them, and we hug them.
We hugged them, yeah, and it was like we've known each other for such a long time. And the same thing when we landed in Buenos Aires, we met Pastor Ray Duran from Fresno, and all the other pastors, and it just felt like we just felt the sense of the Holy Spirit connecting its people. And I've never thought I'd feel something like that. So that was new. Being able to worship in another country, in another language, that was mind-blowing. I mean, I've spoken Spanish my whole life, but seeing these people just pouring their heart out, and just, it was amazing. And so that was awesome. The ordinations were awesome, too, just seeing being able to bless the pastors and feeling so welcome. Both churches that we went to had banners that said, welcome, Vineyard Church, and we're just like, what? Like, we're not... Yeah.
So for those of you who didn't hear, we got to ordain two new vineyard pastors in Argentina. So now there are three vineyard churches in Argentina. There were zero last year. Now there are three. And so there were two new churches that got to welcome us, and they made like a flannel graph, big posters for us in English.
In English, yeah. Welcome. So that felt amazing. Just being able to be there. And one of the things that was hard for me to understand was, okay, we have all these vineyard values. We have all these, you know, we love being here, you know. It, I feel like sometimes we take for granted how special it is being part of a family like this. Being down there, everyone was asking me, tell us more about the vineyard. Teach us how to pray. Can you pray for us? Like, questions that I never thought I would get asked. I was like, I'm just going to help out. No, like, these people are hungry. And that's one thing that I see a lot of times we get comfortable. I don't know if it's because we're just so used to it or what, but, you know, one of the things that I took upon myself and, you know, I challenge you guys to do is be hungry. The hunger I saw in these brothers from Argentina was amazing. I mean, they were just, they would take anything. They're willing to take anything from the Holy Spirit. And that's something that I feel like sometimes in America we lack. We get really comfortable really fast. And just be hungry, guys. I'm challenging myself to, you know, be more hungry when it comes to the word. But that was one of the things that blew me away also. And I felt so honored and so privileged that the Lord would put me in a position to pray for these people, to talk to these people about the vineyard, to you know, teach them how to pray.
So is there somebody in this room? Let's be bold for just a second. And I want Julio to pray from here, but who in this room wants more hunger for God? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Well, okay, I guess we don't have enough prayer. Just put your hand on yourself, I guess. Would you take a posture this morning of receiving? God wants to feed that hunger, and he's putting that desire in you right now. Through Julio's testimony, there's something naturally supernatural in the testimony that God's doing in this room to put in us hunger and also to feed it. So would you just pray blessing?
So let me pray over you guys.
And put the mic close to your mouth.
Father God, just we pray for this hunger, Lord. We ask you to just give us that need to be filled by you, Lord, and to want to search you out, Lord, and to want to be closer to you, Father God, and learn more about you, Lord, and to be able to connect with others on a spiritual, on a supernatural level, Lord, a level that you want us to be connected. So, Lord, I just ask you to just give us this hunger, Lord, and feed us, Father God. Feed us with your spiritual bread, Father God. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to get comfortable, Lord. We want to grow towards you, Lord. We want to expand, Father God, and we want to just make connections, Lord, the way you want us to make them, Lord. So just give us that hunger that I saw overseas, Lord. Make us want more and more of you each day, each and every day, Lord, and make us want to reach out to others, Father God. So I bless, I ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for your And so, out of this testimony, I want to get into the scripture because Jesus has some specific things about what it means to feed this hunger, to have this hunger, to change our minds about the way that life really is. I want to introduce you to this is John chapter 3, and Jesus engages this man called Nicodemus. He says, the writer John, he writes, There was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, who was a religious guy. He was a ruler of the Judeans. He came to Jesus by night. Rabbi, he said to him, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God. Nobody can do these signs that you're doing unless God is with them. So you see that there's a hunger. There's a testimony that he has. I've seen you do some things. Nobody can do this unless you come from God, unless God is with them. Let me tell you the solemn truth, replied Jesus. Unless someone has been born from above, they won't be able to see God's kingdom. Unless someone's been born from above, they can't see God's kingdom. Now, like you and me, Nicodemus answers with reality check to Jesus, how can someone be born when they're old? Yeah. You're not telling me they can go back a second time into their mother's womb and be born, are you? If I'm Nicodemus and I'm facing this man Jesus and he's telling me you have to be born again and I've seen Jesus do some crazy miraculous things, I'm wondering just a little bit, can Jesus do that? Like, does he put people back in and they're born? I don't know, he's miraculous. Jesus, what do you really mean? I'm a little grossed out. And he says, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Unless someone is born from water and spirit, they can't enter God's kingdom. Flesh can only give birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born from above. And get this, there's earth can only give birth to earth, spirit can only give birth to spirit. And so Jesus, he's trying to align the conditioning of his heart, align the conditioning of his life. Do you want to live by time and your own limitations, or do you want to live by a whole different system of life? And Jesus says, the wind blows where it wants to. You can hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it's coming or where it's going to. That's what it's like with someone who is born of the Spirit. And all now, me and Jesus are not going to get along at this point. What are you talking about? The wind's going to take me where I don't want to go. What kind of Lord are you? I thought we were going to be in agreement. You're going to tell me all the things that I like, and I was going to be happy. No, Jesus says, the way you've been living actually doesn't bring joy. Your systematized, regulated, limited thinking, limited ability, all that doesn't give amazing life, Jesus says. The wind blows where it wants to. You can hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it's coming or where it's going to. A realignment of the expectation of what life is supposed to be. That's what it's like with someone who is born of the Spirit. And so Nicodemus, another reality check, how can this be so? Well, replied Jesus, you're a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't know all about this? I'm telling you the solemn truth. We're talking about things we know about. We're giving evidence about the things we've seen. You saw me heal, Nicodemus. What do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? You're asking me about this because you saw a different life in front of you. We're giving evidence about the things we've seen, but you won't admit our evidence. If I told you of earthly things and you don't believe how it will be, if I tell you about heavenly things, are you going to believe then? And this is interesting. You would have thought that Jesus would have just left the paragraph there and allowed Nicodemus to have a brain problem and let things figure out. But then Jesus adds onto him another complication of a question, which Jesus is really good at. And he has a statement that just makes me go crazy a little bit. And nobody has gone into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And if you can imagine, like, Nicodemus is going, what is going on with this rebirth and the Holy Spirit? And then Jesus goes, and by the way, nobody has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, as I read this today, I think about the theological implications of the way that we live. In our church, in the Vineyard, we understand the rule and reign of God as dynamic. God is always at work all the time. And he's everywhere. So his rule and reign happens where he is.
That's right.
Everywhere. And there's an inauguration of this power, this Holy Spirit, as when Jesus comes, dies, kills the power of sin and death on the cross. There's an inauguration of this new life for the whole earth. Not just in Jesus, but in Jesus for the world, in us. And so he comes and he says these words. Nobody's gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. We have said over and over again in this church every Sunday, we want on earth as it is in heaven. And my friends, you cannot get on earth as it is in heaven except for the one that has come from heaven, the only one. Jesus is the only one that can bring the rule and reign, the kingdom of God, here and now. And that's what he's saying to Nicodemus. You can't do this on your own. Amazing life, heavenly life, life-changing life, earth-blessing life cannot happen on your own work. It is only for me because I'm the only one that's come from heaven. I'm the only one. I'm the Son of Man. Now, Jesus is challenging something here too. Nicodemus would much rather rely on his birth certificate in order to have a good life. How funny, most of you have been over our house. How funny if the first thing that I showed you at my house was my birth certificate. I had it hanging up on my wall. Hey, come and see. And you look at it and you're like, okay. You were born. Yeah, I was born, look. And you're, in your mind, you're thinking, I see you alive.
Does he not know he's alive? Does he not think that I know he's alive? Why is he showing me his birth certificate? Why? I don't, John, you're breathing. This is, when we think of what it means to have an amazing life, when we question, is my life amazing? We don't look at our birth certificate. That's not the first thing that we go to. We don't go, I was born. Okay. It doesn't make us feel better. Everything about life, everything that means success, everything that means amazing, doesn't have anything to do that we were born. We're thankful that we were born, but we don't go around proving to people that life, look, my life is great. And can you imagine? Let me prove to you my life is amazing. I was born. It just doesn't work. When we think about questioning and answering what makes life amazing, we have to think beyond our earthly birth. We have to follow Jesus into what it means to have an amazing life. And that means spiritual birth. That means a life that comes directly from Him. Each one of us is asking, are there signs of life? And none of us are looking at our birth certificate. So what do we look at? Well, Jesus later in the book of John, this is chapter 7, verse 37. It's the last day of the festival, the great final celebration. I can't remember exactly which festival it was at this time, but Jesus stood up and he shouted in the middle of a festival. And could you imagine me going on the middle of Broadway in Fiesta and say, hey, everyone, stopping the parade. And this is what Jesus does. And he says, if anybody's thirsty, they should come to me and have a drink. Now, in San Antonio, that would mean something completely different. But Jesus says it in the middle of the festival, and we have to think, what's he doing? Anyone who believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their heart, just like the Bible says. And he said this, and thank you, John, for articulating what Jesus means here. Oh, I'm so thankful. He was such a good apostle, such a good writer. Thank you for articulating this to us. He said this about the Spirit. He said this about the Spirit, which people who believed in him were to receive. The Spirit wasn't available yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. What a beautiful clarification for us, isn't it? Jesus says, anyone who is thirsty should come to me and have a drink. And then he says even more, anyone who believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their heart. Now let me clarify something to you. Living water, as articulated, as translated here, is one way that we get what Jesus is saying. It's living water. And we want to say that the water that comes from Jesus, it's alive, right? It's living water. But in the Aramaic text, it also means running water. It's as if there's this wonderful analogy that's going on. If you can imagine yourself, it's got good plumbing. And it's ready for running water. But none of us have it without the Holy Spirit. Each one of you have already been equipped with exactly what you need to be God's rule and reign here on earth. And each one of us on the earth feels those empty pipes without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Many of you who know my life a little bit, you know that I destroy my house in order to fix it and make it better. Sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes it doesn't. And it was on one occasion where in order, and if you've done any plumbing, you know that you must shut off the main valve to the house. All the water must be drained out in order for you to work on the pipes. Otherwise, if the water's still on and you cut a pipe without a sink being attached to it, water will go everywhere. And I've experienced that many times. Many times. I've not learned, in the same way that I've not learned that when you touch a hot electrical circuit, even when you're careful, you might get shocked. In any case, I've been shocked many times. So I'm working on the pipes, and I broke something to the degree that now it's too late. No hardware store is open. It's the middle of the night, and I can't fix the pipes. There is no running water available for my family. I've ruined it all. And that's very easy to forget when you want to go wash your hands. You go to the bathroom, and you go to wash the hands, and then you open up the faucet, and nothing comes out. And you remember, oh, I have a broken pipe that I've not yet fixed. It's pretty often in my life that I feel like that, where there's something that's broken inside, which doesn't allow for me to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. But you and I both know that we never stop giving. We never stop opening the faucet of our lives, trying to pour out for something or another. Now, what Jesus is saying is, if you're thirsty like that, come to me. Some people know Jesus as the good healer. He's the perfect doctor. Actually, he's a great plumber, too. There's something in our lives where Jesus makes running water out of our hearts. And if heart is good for you, great. But you can think your spleen, the bigness of our lives, Jesus makes water to flow out of there. And when he talks about that, he's actually quoting the scriptures. This is what's promised from God throughout every testimony of God in the whole of scriptures. In Isaiah 55:1, this is almost a direct quote. Hey, anyone who is thirsty, come for water. And then the writer, the prophet Isaiah, continues to speak. Whoever has no silver, come buy and eat. Come buy without silver. Wine and milk without cost. Why weigh out silver for what is not bread and your labor for what's not filling? Listen hard to me. Eat what's good. You can delight your appetite with rich food. Bend your ear to me. Come to me. Listen so that you may come to life. Each one of us walk in such a way where we run out. And our heavenly, loving Father always says, come. And he's never stopped. There's always an invitation. Jesus is echoing a free invitation. God continues to say, come. Why are you trying to fix the pipes on your own? Why are you trying to keep pouring out for other people? You don't have what they need. They need me. You need me. Come for a drink. After our trip to Argentina, I just want to tell you, I hit a wall. I hit a wall like burnout hits a wall. My son, for some reason, has been having this analogy. Dad, let's make a charcoal wall. And I'm like, why are you talking about a charcoal wall? I think he's been talking about me. I hit a wall that was burnout. And a friend was asking me, okay, what does it mean for you to recover from this place as a burnout? I said, vulnerability. I always have people in my life that are safe enough for me to be weak. Because if I don't have that space, I can't get to the place of receiving running water from Jesus. I've closed myself up too much. I don't know where to go. I can't even hear his invitation unless I go to others and say, here's my condition. This is what the family of God is for. You see, you and I were meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The moment that Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, makes us temples of his Holy Spirit, the moment that he says, hey, I know that I used to fill the temple that was built with stone and rock, decorated with lots of gems. I used to do that. Now I'm filling you in the same way. The moment that he started to do that, we became in need. We became a space that was ready to be filled. And some of us fixed before we're filled, or fixed while we're filled, or filled even though we leak. God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit so we can have an amazing life. This description of this temple comes out of Ezekiel. This is chapter 47, verse 9. The prophet there says, any living being that moves will live wherever the wash goes. See, in Ezekiel, there's a talk about the river flowing out from the temple. What happens when we're filled and then we fill to overflow is that when we open up the tap for other people, there's something miraculous and powerful that happens in our surroundings. In the same way that the temple blessed the land, we bless our surroundings as we're filled. Any living being that moves will live wherever the wash goes, wherever the Holy Spirit pours out of us. And the fish will be very abundant. Now, you gotta read into some analogy as I continue to read. The fish will be very abundant because the water comes there. It will be very healthy, and everything and anything will live where the wash comes. By the wash, they'll grow on the bank, on its side, and each side, every tree for food. Who wants fruit in their life? Raise your hand. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Their foliage won't wither. Their fruit won't come to an end. By their months, they'll produce because their water is going out from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their foliage for medicine. We all want to be help for others. We all want to have an amazing life. In Alpha this past week, a simple question, what makes you happy? And around the table, not one person said money because they knew that that answer would be wrong. One person said, I said it. I'm just going to confess. I said, when I get something accomplished, oh, that feels good. That makes me happy. Someone with a less selfish lifestyle said, when I help other people accomplish things, that makes me feel really good. We were made for this. We were made to be temples of the Holy Spirit, filled with him and his life in order to be poured out for the world. So when there's dry ground around us, people that need his life so desperately, we can open up the tap, and wherever his Holy Spirit flows, there'll be health and vitality. We were made for this. When we ask, are there signs of life in my life? None of us go back to, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. No, we're hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we know that real life and vitality comes from this place. You are made to be a place where God is the source for our city. God is the source for your family. Moms, you are not made to dry out in pouring yourself out for your family alone. You are meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And so for today, I want us to minister to one another. I want to take some time where you can minister to one another. For those who are so tired, all of your strength is used just trying to keep yourself together. Some of you going to church is so hard because you feel like you're just going to break down. And so all your strength during the week is trying to protect from letting yourself break. Oh, I broke this past week. I just wept for a good hour. God is saying, that's enough. I want to fill you. For those who are skeptical for God's intended goodness, you've been abandoned or you've been away from God too long. Some of you are thinking, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't want that crazy stuff. My life is already too complicated. No, let's kill that skepticism right now. God wants to fill you with this Holy Spirit because he wants you to have an amazing life. I've got to tell you the truth. You've been trying to not go this way because you've been afraid. He wants to do something so powerful in your life. It doesn't work any other way. It doesn't work any other way. And it may be messy, but it's the only way to have an amazing life. Being filled with his Spirit. For those whose water is stale, I get the picture sometimes. If you haven't used the pipes in a while, maybe you've gone on vacation. You come back and you open up the tap and like rust pours out. I got that picture for some of you. The water there is just stale. It's a mess. And whenever you try to operate by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's just something there of fear, of hesitation, of wondering, am I giving away or what God is using me, is it really going to be helpful? But some of you are just hungry. Some of you recognize that the Holy Spirit is offering this bread, and it's the bread of life, and you want more. Would you stand with me, please? I just want to wait for a moment and let the Holy Spirit have his way. It's going to be weird and awkward and silent, and it's just going to be the way it is. So let's just wait. Holy Spirit, would you come? We invite you into our hearts to move among us, to have your way. And I'm just going to be silent for a minute. Come, Holy Spirit. Would one of you be bold today, if this is you, the one that said, I'm using all my strength up just to keep myself together. Would you raise your hand this morning? Someone be bold. There's a couple over here. Would someone come and pray for these ladies? For some of you, would you be bold to raise your hand? You're skeptical. You're skeptical of God's movement, skeptical of his goodness in your life. You don't really believe that this life is meant to be good. There's been too much bad that's happened. You've been too far away. Would you raise your hand? More people over here to pray. Skeptical of God's movement. Raise your hand. Some of you are feeling like, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but that was a while ago, and every time I go to pray for someone, I'm not sure if anything's really happening. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. We've got a couple people here. You can go ahead and start praying for them. Just go ahead. Now, for those of you who are really just, you know that God is like, there's a time coming for you right now where his power is going to move through you in ways you've never seen before. Would you come up here, please? Just make your way. You want to be filled with him in such a way. You know that his power is going to flow through you, but you need prayer. Would you just have the boldness to come up this morning? There's a few of you here. You want more of his power. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. There's a couple of you here. Good. Good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Go ahead. Just keep coming up. It's okay. Don't stop. You're really hungry. These guys are really hungry. God wants to give you bread to feed the world, his Holy Spirit to satisfy the hearts of those around you. Would you guys just extend your hands? Just be ready. It's really awkward to be in front of people. You want to just kind of fold your hands and put them aside. That's not what we're here for right now. We're going to receive from the Lord. And if there are more of you, just keep coming up. Just keep coming up. Help me pray. Help me pray. Come help me pray. And we're going to just lay hands on these guys, just one by one, and just ask, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just be ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a fresh feeling, in a way that's able to feed. Go ahead, guys. Just start ministering. Just go. And you all that are being prayed for, just receive. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive. This is God's business. This isn't your business. Some of you ladies, you want to help me pray? You want to help me pray? Come on. Come on. And just go around and just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just ask if you can put their hand on them. Just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go for it. Go ahead. Just ask if you can lay hands on them. Just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead, okay? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. For more. They just want more of the Holy Spirit. It is coming to 11 o'clock, and so I want to be honest with the Duseum who've asked us to end our services at 11 o'clock. You want to say something? God's up to something. And so I want to say a blessing on all of you who have come today. Before you leave, there are communion tables that are available. There will be prayer teams that will continue to be available for any physical, emotional, spiritual healing you need. Anything else you want God to do, keep praying up here. Don't stop praying. Don't let me stop you. But for the rest of you here, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to be filled with His Spirit for amazing life. That you would go out filled with His Spirit for amazing life and overflowing to others. That anything broken inside that you would allow the Holy Spirit to fix, that His movement would be full for the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.